And it came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine. For he taught them as one having authority, and not as the scribes.
Several years ago, a man read a mission story in a church. And while reading the mission story, he made a comment. This is about Jesus. This is not about doctrine. This is not about prophecy. This is about Jesus. But the truth is, friends, if we take away doctrine and prophecy, we take away things that are part of Jesus. The name of my sermon today is Teacher and Prophet. Now, one thing is true. When we start telling someone about Jesus, the first thing we want them to know is we have a Savior. His name is Jesus Christ. But in order for them to become acquainted with the Savior, they need to know about his teachings. And that's what doctrine means. Doctrine means teaching. So let's see what the Word of God says about our Lord, Jesus Christ, and doctrine. Let's turn to Matthew 22 in our Bibles. Matthew chapter 22, starting with verse 31. Matthew 22, starting with verse 21. I'm sorry, verse 31. This is Jesus speaking. But as touching the resurrection of the dead, so Jesus is talking about a doctrine here. If it weren't important, Jesus wouldn't have taken the time to talk about it. But as touching the resurrection of the dead, have ye not read that which was spoken unto you by God, saying, I am the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. And when the multitude heard this, they were astonished at his doctrine. And that's, I might have mentioned, that's what attracted people to Jesus. His doctrines, his teachings. He taught the resurrection of the dead. We need to remember, friends, though, that doctrine is not just the resurrection of the dead, the state of the dead, the second coming, the Sabbath, and so on. Doctrine is anything taught. In our case, anything taught from the Word of God. Let's turn to the next gospel, Mark chapter 1. Starting with verse 21. Mark chapter 1, verse 20, starting with verse 21. We'll look at two more places in Mark after this, and then a place in John, for what the Bible says about Jesus and doctrine. It reads, they went into Capernaum, Jesus and his disciples. And straightway on the Sabbath day, he entered into the synagogue and taught. There you have it. He was a teacher. And they were astonished at his doctrine. There we have it, that again. For he taught them as one that had authority and not as the scribes. And there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit. And he cried out. So this man was possessed by a devil. And he cried out, saying, let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee, whether thou art, who thou art, the Holy One of God. The devils knew who he was, even during his earthly life, the Holy One of God. Verse 25, and Jesus rebuked him, saying, hold thy peace and come out of him. And when the unclean spirit had torn him, or dashed him, and cried with a loud voice, he came out of him. And it goes on saying, and they were all amazed, insomuch that they questioned among themselves, saying, what thing is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority commandeth he the unclean spirits, and they do obey him. So when the people saw Jesus cast the unclean spirit out of this man, to them, that was a new teaching. That was a new doctrine. The power of the Son of God, or the Son of Man, whichever you want to call him, over unclean spirits, devils. That's a doctrine. That's a teaching. Our Lord has power over devils. Amen? Praise God. Let's turn to Mark 4, verses 2 and 3. This is a parable with which I'm sure you're all familiar, but we won't go over the parable. We'll just read Mark 4, 2 and 3 here. It reads, "And he taught them many things in parables, and said unto them in his doctrine, hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow." We'll stop there. So I'm sure you can all tell he's about to tell the parable of the sower. But even Christ's object lessons, which he taught in parables, were things he taught. They were his doctrines. So we definitely don't want to throw away doctrine, friends. Let's look at Mark 11, 17 and 18. Mark 11, 17 and 18. It reads, "And he taught," there you have it again, he's teaching, "saying unto them, is it not written, my house shall be called of all nations the house of prayer? But ye have made it a den of thieves. And the scribes and chief priests heard it, and sought him how they might destroy him, for they feared him, because all the people was astonished at his doctrine." So when our Lord says that his house, let's apply this to our church building right here in Elmira, New York. When our Lord says that his house is to be a house of prayer for all nations, for all people, that's a teaching. That's a doctrine. And I definitely don't want to throw that doctrine away. So now let's turn to the book of John, chapter 18. John chapter 18, verses 19 and 20. It reads, "The high priest then asked Jesus of his disciples and of his doctrine. Jesus answered him, I spake openly to the world. I ever taught in the synagogue and in the temple, whither the Jews always resort, and in secret have I said nothing." God's word is crystal clear. Our Lord, during his earthly life, was a teacher, and everything he taught was his doctrine. So again, friends, if we throw away doctrine, we throw away something that comes from Jesus, something that's a part of him. What about prophecy? Before we go right into that, I want to comment on the book of John. I've recently been rereading the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke. I'm on John right now. And one thing, whenever you study a book of the Bible, or just read a book of the Bible, you want to watch for a certain thought or main idea that's being repeated throughout that book. In the book of John, in reading it just lately, I've come to realize how excellent John is for that. You can read that whole book and you can find several thoughts and main ideas that get repeated throughout John's gospel. One of them is Jesus being a prophet. Let's turn to chapter 1, verse 44, book of John. John chapter 1, verse 44. Actually, verse 45. John 1, 45. And it reads, "Philip findeth Nathanael, and saith unto him, we have found him, of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." So Philip here, this is Philip the disciple, Philip says, "We have found him, of whom Moses did write in the law." Let's see Jesus testify the same thing. Same book, chapter 5, verse 46. This is Jesus speaking again. It says, "For had ye believed Moses, ye would have believed me, for he wrote of me." So, Moses wrote of Jesus. Philip said that. Jesus himself said that. What did Moses say about him? Very next chapter, John 6, verse 14. "Then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, 'This is of a truth that prophet that should come into the world.'" So Jesus, during his earthly life, was a prophet. So again, if we say this is not about prophecy, this is about Jesus, then we're trying to separate something from him, something that comes from him, something that's a part of him. It's true that whenever we teach doctrine or prophecy, we want to make sure that Jesus Christ is the focal point. We want to make sure that we always lift up Jesus. But in order for people to become acquainted with Jesus, they need to learn of his teachings, his doctrines. And his prophecies are there also for our study. You find them in the book of John, but you find in Matthew 24, Mark 15, Luke 17, Luke 21, you find Jesus prophesying. Those chapters, friends, are not just space takers in the Word of God. They're there for our study. Our Lord gave us those things for a reason. Let's read chapter 7 of the book of John, verse 40. This is one of those thoughts and main ideas that I mentioned, Jesus being a prophet. Throughout the book of John, it says in verse 40, "Many of the people therefore," John 7, 40, "many of the people therefore, when they heard this saying, said, 'Of a truth, this is the prophet.'" Let's find out precisely what prophet they're talking about. They're talking about Jesus, but what prophet are they saying he is? Let's back up. Let's go to the Old Testament. Deuteronomy 18. Deuteronomy 18, verse 18. Remember, Philip and Jesus both said that Moses wrote of Jesus. And the people concluded, this is that prophet. Deuteronomy 18, verse 18. It reads, "I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren, like unto thee, and will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him." And Jesus says in the book of John, "I do the works of him that sent me." Which is another thought or main idea that is repeated throughout the book of John. He says that his Father sent him. The Apostle Peter makes this even clearer. Let's turn to the book of Acts. The rest of our time will be spent in the New Testament. Book of Acts, chapter 3, verses 20 and 22. After this, we'll be turning to four more places, chapters in the Bible. Acts chapter 3, verses 20 and 22. It reads in Acts 3, 20 and 22, "And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you." That's Peter speaking. Verse 22, "For Moses truly said unto the fathers, 'A prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me. Him shall ye hear in all the things whatsoever he shall say unto you.'" So Peter right there quotes Deuteronomy 18:18. He's making it crystal clear. Jesus is that prophet, clear to us. He leaves us with no question. So prophecy also is something that comes from Jesus. And if we throw that away, we throw away something that's a part of him. Let us turn to 2 Peter chapter 1. let me correct that. Well, we're turning now to 2 Peter chapter 1. Then we'll be turning to four more chapters in the Bible. 2 Peter chapter 1. Peter testifies to the fact that what is in writing is so important to us today. 2 Peter chapter 1. Let's start with verse 16. Peter says, "For we have not followed cunningly devised fables, when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty." Let's find out what he's talking about. "For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory," from heaven that is, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." And this voice came from heaven, we heard when we were with him in the holy mount. Peter's talking about the Mount of Transfiguration. You find that in Matthew 17. Peter, James, and John went up on the mount with Jesus, and he was transfigured before them. In other words, they saw him partly in glory. His garments and his appearance all became more glorious. They didn't see him in his full glory, but still, they saw him partly in greater glory than he appeared during most of his earthly life. Most of his earthly life, he just appeared as an ordinary man. But we, friends, were not privileged to see that happen. Peter testifies that he saw Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration. John testifies in John chapter 1. But we, friends, weren't privileged. So it's so important to us to have things in writing that strengthen our faith in the things that the apostles tell us. Peter goes on saying in verse 19, "We have also a more sure word of prophecy." So friends, we definitely don't want to throw out prophecy. He's saying that God's prophetic word is even more sure than what Peter saw on the mount. I believe the reason he said that is because for us, who were not privileged to see Jesus transfigured on the mount, God's prophetic word strengthens our faith in him. And it strengthens our faith, our belief that what Peter, James, and John saw on the Mount of Transfiguration is true. It strengthens our faith in that. Peter says, "We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed." He's telling us to heed the prophecies. I don't want to say this is not about prophecy. It says, "Whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star rise in your hearts." Let's turn now to the Apostle John's prophetic book, Revelation, chapter 1, verse 1. It reads in Revelation 1:1, "The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him, to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John." Let's stop there for a moment. One can never stress enough the first five words of that verse, "the revelation of Jesus Christ." Friends, we need to remember, when you read the book of Revelation, this book is a revelation of Jesus Christ. It's the revelation of the same Jesus who was born in the manger. The same Jesus who went about doing good, preaching, teaching, and healing. The same Jesus who taught in parables. The same Jesus who talked about heart issues in the Sermon on the Mount. The same Jesus who died for us on the cross of Calvary. The book of Revelation is a revelation of him, the same Jesus. And notice what John says in verse 3, same chapter. "Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand." So friends, we definitely are not to discard prophecy. This is consistent with what Peter said. He said, you do well that you take heed. John says there's a blessing for those who read this book of prophecy. There's a blessing for those who read and hear these words. In other words, they don't just casually hear, but they understand, they learn what is being said in the book of Revelation. There's a blessing for it. In the same book, let's turn to chapter 22. Before we go to our closing verses, chapter 22. Revelation chapter 22. We'll read verses 18 and 19. Most of the time when you hear these verses quoted, you're probably used to hearing them applied to the Bible. But I'm going to speak about the contextual meaning of these verses. Revelation 22, 18 and 19. The context, friends, is talking about the book of Revelation, specifically. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, that's Revelation, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. So the book of Revelation is definitely not something for us to discard. At the same time, it is not something for us to tamper with. We are to hear the words of this prophecy. We are to read them. In the same chapter, Jesus says in verse 16, I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star. Friends, again, that's the same Jesus who was born in the manger, who died on the cross. And if prophecy were not important, he would not have sent his angel to testify these things unto his servant John. But he took the time to do that. So that means that prophecy is also there for our study. We are to study God's doctrines and his prophetic word. And at the same time, when doing so, always be lifting up Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. In closing, let's turn to the book of Matthew. We'll start with chapter 7, verses 28 and 29. Matthew 7, verses 28 and 29. As you know, from all the way from Matthew 5, all the way through Matthew 5, 6, and 7, that's the Sermon on the Mount. And here's what the disciple Matthew concludes in verses 28 and 29. And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, his teachings, friends. He was a teacher. For he taught them as having one having authority and not as the scribes. Friends, when we study about Jesus, yes, the first thing we want to acknowledge is him being our Lord, our Savior, God with us. Those are the things we want to acknowledge. But to become acquainted with him, we need to study and teach, share with others his teachings, his doctrines. So as we learn more and more about Jesus, friends, and getting to know him personally, as our personal friend, let's not leave anything out. We know him as the one who did all kinds of deeds of kindness. At the same time, let us not leave out his doctrines and his prophecies. Let us conclude with Matthew 21:11. It reads, and the multitude said, this is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee. Amen? Amen. Amen. May God bless each one of you as you continue to walk with your Savior.
Pray.
Our Father in heaven, we thank you so much for another day of life. And we thank you so much for giving us your holy scriptures. We thank you for the angels guarding us. And we thank you so much for giving us Jesus. We thank you for his love. We thank you for his friendship. We thank you for his life, death, and resurrection. And we thank you that he is now our intercessor. Again, we thank you that he is our friend, our personal Lord and Savior. At the same time, we thank you for his teachings, and we thank you for his prophecies that give us assurance that he is coming again. And we pray that you will help us to remain patient and faithful until that glorious day. And we thank you so much for sending the Holy Ghost to comfort, guide, and teach us. And we pray that you will be with us and keep us through the rest of this day. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.